Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem BPJ, share number 150. That's by Spimmy Joint, share number 150. This is, we're holding in 13 things mentally strong couples don't do. And the fifth one is they don't use their emotions as weapons. This is such a common type of issue in marriages where people use their emotions to manipulate and to get what they want or to put themselves in a self-protective mode and not want to grow in the relationship. So I'm going to put in a quiz now that this author puts in. It's not even easy to hear these questions and say, nah, that's not me, but it does and should. It's just human nature. It resonates. And some of it resonated with me when I see that there were times where I fell into this. And I think all of us do from time to time. So here is the quiz. So think about how many of these statements sound familiar to you in one time or another. Number one, I cried during a conversation to make my spouse stop talking about a difficult subject. In other words, you cried and got very visibly emotionally shaken. And the main purpose of it is because you don't want your spouse to harp, or not harp really, just to bring up this difficult subject. Or I have expressed anger during a conversation with my spouse because I wanted them to change their viewpoint. Or I have tried to use guilt to make my spouse change their behavior. Or I've accused my spouse of being selfish to get them to change their behavior. That's a common one. I tell my spouse I can't discuss certain topics surrounding our relationship because the subject matter is too upsetting for me. Another way they word it is too triggering for me. Or I try to get out of doing certain things by telling my spouse I'm too anxious to do them. Or I use silent treatment when I'm angry. Or I remind my spouse I'm too fragile to handle certain things. So if these statements describe you or your spouse, that means that sometimes you do use your emotions as weapons. And there's steps that you could take to manage and express your feelings in a healthy way while also getting your needs met. So this is the idea, is that sometimes emotions, you know, people will show anger to end the conversation, or they cry because they want to get their way, or they express their emotion in an attempt to manipulate the situation. Sometimes the emotion is feigned, meaning it's faked. They're not actually angry, but they'll raise their voice and pretend to be angry because they know that's how they'll get the conversation to end. There are times the emotion is genuine, but the expression is exaggerated. So either they're going to act angry because they want to shut the conversation, but they're not angry at all, or they are angry somewhat, but they're going to dramatize it to an extreme way. Right? Sometimes you're upset. You want to get your husband or wife to do something, and you know if you say it in a normal way, they're not going to listen, so you go ballistic and really go overboard. Because then they'll listen. So it's not just emotional expressions, by the way, that become weapons. They plant feelings in their spouse. And they prey on those emotions as an advantage. Now, there were researchers from a university in Italy that found that the more one spouse hid their emotions, the other one avoided the close attachment to them. And that, in turn, led to more concealed emotions and a decreased relationship satisfaction. So, for example, if you smile when you're sad or insist you're not angry when you are upset about something, that's not good for a relationship. That's true. But exaggerating an emotion is also not healthy. In other words, you're not smiling when you're sad. You're sad. So expressing sadness, that's fine. That's healthy if that's what you're feeling. But to accentuate it and exaggerate it is a problem too. See, healthy emotional expression is good. It's good for our mental health. It's good for our relationships. Talking about feelings, expressing yourself in a way that's congruent, which means it's aligning with how you feel, that's healthy. You know, you could take a break in the conversation when the emotions feel too intense. Sometimes you may hide an emotion a little when it's not socially accepted to show them. And all of those things. So ask yourself this question. Do you sometimes use your emotions as a weapon against your spouse? Or do you suspect your spouse sometimes to use their emotions as a weapon against you? this needs to be discussed. You know, not to be on eggshells around the person. When they're angry and they sulk, whatever it is, there's ways to not let that, you know, you do what you have to do anyway. You can be firm and not affect your life because of those temper tantrums or whatever it may be. That you're not going to change something that's normal. You know, you don't use, if you see your spouse is using emotional expressions to control you, you don't allow them to control you. Now, difficulty managing emotions may not be your fault, but it's very important for each person to find healthy ways to express feelings. Those emotional expressions shouldn't be used to manipulate your spouse's behavior. So that is the idea. So it's very difficult to hold your spouse accountable for their feelings. They're entitled to be upset, but you have to really put a sort of a limit on it. So, for example, if you had a husband that when company came over and he didn't want to deal with them, he just ran up to his room and disappeared. Right? That's what he did, and it made the wife feel embarrassed. So to change that, to be proactive, she went up, knocked on the door again where her husband was in the room. First he told her, if you disappear, I'm assuming you need 10 minutes alone, and after 10 minutes, I'll knock on your door and you're going to join the conversation. Or, you know, she had her family events and her husband always used to say, at the last minute, I'm not going. And sometimes they didn't go because of that. But she stopped doing that. She said, sorry, I'm going to the family event, whether you come with me or not, but I'm inviting you and, you know, do what you need to do. And she goes with or without him. And she doesn't get manipulated into staying home because he doesn't want to go. You know, not to be walking on eggshells, to discuss issues. You don't want to talk about it, but I want to talk about it. He walks away. Okay, you're walking away. I'm giving you an hour, and then I'm going to come to you, and we're going to revisit this conversation, and so on and so forth. So there's different things that you could do. The idea in their house, as an example, to slam doors when you're angry. Some families, unfortunately, should not happen, but they always slam doors. When they're upset, they slam doors. But you make a decision in our house, that's not acceptable. We're not slamming doors, and so on and so forth. Now, we have to understand and have respect when couples, as all people do, express emotions differently and at different intensities. It depends on culture, personality, life experience. So a husband and wife won't always be on the same page as far as emotional expression. One of you will be more exuberant than the other. That's perfectly fine. One of them is more outgoing, bubbly, excited. The other one is calmer. That's fine. That's fine. But you'd have to know what the comfort level of what needs to be in a certain range at home. An extrovert could be more bubbly, but not over the top crazy bubbly. You understand? Or the introvert could be more reserved and quiet, but not to a point where they're like, you can barely get a word out of them and they're like a robot. So you have to sort of acclimate and balance that. So you don't have to tell your spouse that shows a lot of emotion to show less emotion. But for example, if let's say he's watching a game and he gets excited about it. So the wife could say, you know, when you really get excited about the game and start yelling, it sends my body into a state of panic for a second. So just help me when you watch a game. You know, it'd be great if you just temper the enthusiasm a little bit or so on and so forth. Or let me know and I'll put on my, you know, noise-canceling headphones and listen to a podcast in the other room while you're cheering that loudly. You know, you work around that. You have to take responsibility for your parent, for your own emotions also. If you feel you're over, you're over emotional that time. Just like, you know, you have to recognize you affect how your spouse feels, and the sound of your voice may help them feel better if you know how to modulate it better. And if, again, we said this, if the conversation becomes too intense, you take a break if you need to. It's important to take responsibility for your feelings and allow your spouse to take responsibility for them. So for example, you really could put this down and you could tell your spouse, you know, it's okay to be upset and angry, but it's not okay to scream at me. It's okay to feel sad, but it's not okay to ignore me. This is very important. So sometimes you have sadness or downness. So it's very hard to communicate when you're dad or sad or down, but you have to make the, even if it's a superhuman effort, to acknowledge, sorry, I feel down now. I'm not up to talking now, but I hope you're doing okay. And let's have a short conversation. And you force yourself to, you know, or it's okay to feel frustrated, but it's not okay to call names and become abusive because of your frustration. So you have to understand these emotional limits what each couple has. Sometimes it's okay for a husband or wife to say, I'm really stressed out now and I'm not able to have this conversation. And I will revisit this issue when I have the emotional capacity to do so, when I'm feeling better, or once I recharge my batteries. You know, that type of thing. So the idea of being so careful not to use your emotions as weapons. To always insist all the time, I can't do things because I'm stressed out. When the truth is you really just simply don't want to do these tasks. So you act like you can't handle things when you just simply don't want to handle them. So that works for you. You got out of a lot of responsibilities by doing that. So you're going to continue to do that. But again, you have to not fool yourself. It's okay, for example, when you choose to stay home to take care of yourself, or that you opt out of doing something because you're tired. That's okay. But the way you couch those languages is that you don't say, I can't do it. You say, right now, I'm not choosing to. Right? So that's a very, very important distinction. It's not your job to change your spouse and remove the uncomfortable feelings from them, but you just have to work on making it as comfortable as possible. They sometimes may feel, your spouse, that you're using this on them. So you have to really make a cheshbon and nefesh and know if indeed that's exactly what you're doing or not. Sometimes the both of you want to stop using your emotions as weapons, and that would be ideal. So that you have to work on. You have to work on that. You know, and while managing your emotions, that makes you stronger. It's like exercising a muscle. The problem is that sometimes you don't believe you're the other person's genuine expression of emotions. And sometimes you confuse feelings with behaviors. Now, sometimes it could be actual mental issues going on. If someone has true depression, or anxiety, or PTSD, then the emotional expressions will be difficult to to manage. And personality disorders and things like that would be very difficult to manage. So the way you work it with each other when you want to discuss how emotions affect you and have a real conversation about it, you could talk to each other and ask these questions. How can you tell when I feel sad or when I feel angry or feel happy? What's an example of a time when you appreciated that I took your feelings seriously? What's an example of a time when we both managed our feelings in a healthy way despite the difficult circumstances? How do you think we were able to do that? So that's the idea. And this author, Amy Morin, interviewed a licensed clinical social worker with many years of experience. And basically, this social worker said that the biggest reason people attend individual couples therapy is because they have difficulty managing an uncomfortable emotion like anxiety, sadness, or anger. They have trouble dealing with it. And they sometimes the emotional reaction is because it's very difficult for them to put aside their focus to let someone else's view stand out, someone else's values. And that is the idea. But the major work of healthy marriage therapists, healthy rabbanim, healthy people who work with a couple and between the couple themselves is how to work on involving, helping each other and both manage their emotions better. That's the majority of the work. That's the ikatachlis of the work. The idea of having to work on emotional regulation. And how do you go about it? Number one is you validate the other person. Then you have compassion for the other person. And you feel present and aware. That's very, very important. Everyone can benefit from healthy individual therapy. They have a place to learn, to grow, and so on and so forth. So the nakuda of this, and really there's so many shiur we could give. And really we're going to get into John Gottman's. We reviewed two of his books. We're going to go more into it. Different angles of his books and go into other books because he is very, very good at explaining this, and he's very, very good at talking about how couples tend to use their emotions as weapons and how to go about not to manipulate each other and respect each other so that this does not happen, and they only use their emotions in a healthy way. Bracha v'atzlacha.